God bless you for being here. Open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 6. Boy, I thank you for being here. Welcome to all of our friends on the internet and for all our friends here in the building. We're glad you're here. We had a wonderful camp meeting, a great preaching. The food was just outstanding. I got text messages and phone calls back. I've had several people to call me and said that they watched on the internet this morning. Ms. Juanita was telling me that the Olenics up in Maryland had watched on the internet and that they really enjoyed it, and that they're going to try to be in camp meeting next year. I want you to pray. Camp meeting's always the week before Father's Day, and I've got something in my heart I'm trying to work out about our speakers for next year. I'm praying, and I'm going to tell you right now, I want you to pray. I'm praying that Brother Ralph Sexton will be able to be with us Monday and Tuesday night of camp meeting next year. I think Brother Joe's going to come back on Wednesday night, and the Rochester's on Thursday night. But I want you to pray, and we just have great preachers, but it'd be a blessing if Brother Ralph could come be back with us in camp meeting. This text I've read quite often on Father's Day over 51 years of pastoring, and you can imagine that. But it's been in my mind all this week as I thought ahead, even during camp meeting, about it. There's just something about these words that get in my heart. I'm glad I'm saved. Every person that's born, Jesus said of a group of people, you're of your father, the devil. When you're born alienated from God. God is creator. God fashioned you. He made the birds. He made the trees, made everything else. And you're creation of God. And God fashioned you uniquely. You're the only one like you, the only man like you, the only woman like you, only person like you in the whole world. Never has been anybody like you before. Now you think about that of all the millions of people, billions of people on the face of the earth now, but in all of history, there's never been another one just like you. There never will be another one just like you. You're uniquely made. And the Bible says that God has created you for His pleasure. But it says it is impossible without faith to please Him. And so you cannot please Him unless you have exercise faith in Him. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You're born physically into this world, but you're a creation of God, but not a child of God. People talk about the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. Only those who've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb are children of God. First John, he says this, now, brethren, now are we the children of God. And he goes on to explain that we're saved because we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, these things have I written, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might know that you have eternal life. You become a child of the King. You become a child of God when you get saved by the grace of God. And when the disciples watched our Lord pray, and he gives them some instruction on praying in Matthew chapter 6. And it's over the years, when I've read this passage, it always speaks to my heart. I had thought I might would read the whole chapter, but I'm not going to take time to do that. But I do want to look at verse 1. I'll skip through here and just read two or three verses for the sake of time. Matthew 6, verse 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. And then if you look down at verse number 4, notice what it said in verse 4, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. Look at verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. And then what we call the Lord's Prayer. It's actually the model prayer, and I want to begin with verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. Your Father, thy Father, your Father. He gets to be our Father. He is our Father when we're born of Him. We're born not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but by the will of God and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We become a child of King when there's a birthday. And it's when we get born again. But look at verse 9. Here he gives what we call the model prayer. And this is how you approach God, the God who created everything, the God who causes the tides to go in and out, causes the sun to rise and set, the God who feeds the birds and all those other things, the God who owns everything in this world and all the other worlds outside of this world, and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of miles away. The suns that are 10 million times bigger than our sun. It's hard for us to even comprehend that. He owns all of that. And he said, here's how you pray. You pray like this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. I'm going to leave off the reading right there. And he says, amen. I want you to look at this passage of scripture, but let's pray first. Heavenly Father, I do want to thank you for every father here, for all of our fathers in the media audience today on Facebook, and Lord, all those who watch us on the internet, those who listen by means of radio and other means today. I want to thank you for every father. Thank you especially, our Father, for those who are children. That is, they've been born again by the grace of God, and you are their father. And I pray, God, that you'd help me to be a good father, help me to be a good daddy. I pray, God, you'd help me to love you and serve you, be an example to my family, an example to the church and to all the people around me. Help me to love you and serve you. And God, I'm thankful that you're my father. God, it's an awesome thing to know that you're creator. You fashioned everything. You made everything. You're the judge of the ends of the world. You're King of kings and Lord of lords, but you are our father. And Lord, we thank you for that. Now bless this time together. God, I want to thank you as I bow before you this morning. There's no good thing in me. But God, apart from the breath of heaven, the Holy Ghost of God, nothing of eternal consequence to take place. God, breathe in this place. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I love that little phrase, our Father. He's talking to his disciples, and you pray like this. And you pray, our Father. Isn't it unique that he didn't say you just pray, my Father? He said, you pray, our Father. There's two or three things that I have emphasized over in days gone by in this passage of Scripture. But I'll suggest to you, first of all, it suggests something to us about the nature of our Father. Our Father, which art in heaven. Cindy just read a poem written by her daddy that he's not in the grave. He's in heaven now. But our Father's in heaven, and he made the heaven that he's in. He's God of this universe, and your Father is in heaven. It tells you something about the nature of our Father. He is the creator of all things, and he is holy. He's without spot, without blemish. He is omniscient. He has all knowledge. He is omnipotent, has all power, and he's your Father. Amen? He's your Father. And he has that Father relationship with you. He didn't say you pray to our great God, omnipotent, sovereign God. He is all of those things. But he said, when you pray like this, our Father. It speaks of the nature of our Father, but it also speaks about the nature of our birth. I already emphasized that to you. He's our Father. Father means that he's begotten life to us, that we've been born again by the blood of the Lamb. We know him as Savior and Lord. And because we're born of him, we have his likeness in us. The Bible said the Holy Spirit of God came in us crying, Abba, Father. And we have inside of us God in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. From time to time, people look at Charles and they say, you look like your daddy. Now, that blesses me because I think Charles is a handsome young man. And I'm a handsome old man. But at any rate, I look at him and I think, Lord, have mercy. I don't think I ever looked like that. But you see kids and you see them and you say, look like them. You know, look like so-and-so. But most of the time, what a compliment to say, you look like your daddy. You look like your daddy. And my dear friend, can I say this to you? When you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God is in you, you begin to look like your daddy. You begin to act like your daddy. You begin to do the things your daddy wants to do. And my dear friend, that's what it means to be born again by the grace of God. But I love that little emphasis. Not only do I see something about the nature of my Father and the nature of my birth, that I was born again and I have his nature inside of me, because I trusted Christ, turned from my sin and turned to the Savior, and the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of me. But I love that phrase he put in there, our Father. That reminds me of my relationship. We got a lot of brothers and sisters around the world. And in everywhere I've ever been, whether it's in Germany, the Philippines, or anywhere in the States or anywhere else, I don't care what color they are. I don't care how educated or uneducated, how much they have material means. If they know Christ, there's a kindred spirit. There's something you sense when you get around a Christian that you don't find just in an average crowd. When you're saved by the grace of God, you're reminded, He said, it's our Father. You've got a lot of brothers and sisters around this world have the same daddy, and we have that wonderful relationship with Him. And we thank God for that. He's given us a wonderful, wonderful family. But that's not the message I want to preach this morning. That was just the introduction. As I was going through this passage once again, boy, there was something just really jumped up in my heart. I have, on so many occasions, talked with people with broken hearts and people who are struggling with addiction and going through a broken marriage. And they say to me, nobody knows what I feel. Preacher, you just don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what it's like to have an addiction. You don't know what it's like to this, that, and the other. In some occasions, I say, well, oh, yes, I do, too. I know what it's like to bury a child if they've had a child to die. I've been there. I know what it is to bury a baby. I know what it is to have your mom and dad to be gone, to die. I know what it is to have family situations where children have gone astray. I know some of those things. I know what it is to experience betrayal from friends and those type of things. I know some of those things. I never was addicted to alcohol or any of those other things. No, I wasn't. But the thing is, I love you and I'll pray for you. But I want to tell you one thing. There's one person who absolutely knows exactly what you're going through. Will you look at your Bible? And I want you to mark two words, and I pray it'll get real big to you on Father's Day. Look at verse number 8. Be ye not therefore like unto them, your Father knoweth. I want you to just underline that. And he's talking in a context here of a situation I will make reference to in just a few moments. But I want you to know this. Your Father knows. He knows the hurt that nobody else sees. He knows the longings that nobody else understands. He knows the battles that nobody else can help you with. Your Heavenly Father knows all of those things and knows every one of those things. And you say, well, Brother Billy, well, He's God. He knows everything. He certainly does. He's God and he knows everything. But I want to remind you, my dear friend, that in this passage of Scripture, your Heavenly Father knoweth. When you get to that place where you think nobody cares and nobody understands, I want you to know one thing, your Father knows. When you do things and nobody ever acknowledges it, and you wonder, why is it that nobody recognized what you did? Not that you're doing it for glory, but, you know, you just feel like nobody even cares. I want you to know He does. There's a few occasions in the Bible that there are specific occasions that I want to just mention to you briefly this morning. Number one, in the book of Psalms, he says this, He knoweth our frame, that we're but dust. He knows exactly what people say, Brother Bill, I don't think I can take any more. Oh, yeah, you can. Somebody said this, and it sounds good, but it's really not true. He said, God won't ever put any more on you than you can bear. But I've learned over the years, He will. I guarantee you He'll put more on you than you can bear. You'll go through things that is more than you can bear. But He knows your frame. He knows the breaking point. Tim and I were talking about the construction of the set for the drama in this, and that Erskine, who's an engineer, had went and calculated the strength and how to put the support system under all that, where it absolutely need to be to support everything. And to bear the load, he knew exactly what it would take and how much you'd have to support all that. Can I tell you, the Bible said, your Father knows your frame. You say, I don't think I can go through anything else. Oh, He knows exactly how much you can go through. But here's the thing about it. He knows how much He can take. And He may put you through more than you can take, but He'll never put you through more than He can take. Paul said in one place in the Scripture, he said, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to understand that there was a time, he said, that I was pressed beyond strength above measure, even despairing of life. He said, I got to the place where my strength was not sufficient. But he learned this, our confidence not in us, but in Him. He knows what you can go through. He knows everything. And you feel like everything in the world's falling in on you. But God knows. God knows what you're doing. And I promise you, everything He's doing in your life is not to hurt you, but to help you. It's to make you a witness. It's to be a blessing to you. He knows that. But you know, there's other passages of Scripture in the Old Testament where He talks about all of those things. He said, I know your thoughts. Wow. You think about that. God knows your thoughts. He knows everything you ever think. Sitting here this morning, some of you just kind of have to shake your head every now and then. You say, man, I'm in church. Why did I think that? You know, why did it? Well, the Bible talks about the fiery darts of the devil. Sometimes the devil just runs something through your mind. He wars against your mind. But you've got things in your mind. You've got thoughts in your mind. And God knows all of your thoughts. God knows everything that you're thinking. And he knows that, knows everything. But He also said this in the Bible. He said, God knows our heart. He knows whether we're right with Him or not. You can put on a good show before your husband, your wife, the preacher, the church, but God looks on the heart. He knows exactly what's in your heart. Your Heavenly Father knows your heart to examine us and search us. And I was looking at that passage of Scripture where David said, Lord, know my heart. Know my heart. And that word know, it gives this emphasis. It's the idea of almost like drilling a hole in it. It's kind of like doing open heart surgery. And he's saying, God, open up my heart. But you know, God knows your heart. He knows if there's something there ought not to be there, if there's jealousy there, if there's pride there, if there's lust there. He knows every bit of that. But He loves you anyway. And He wants you to be clean, and He wants you to be right with you. And David said, Lord, renew in me a right spirit and purge me, create in me a clean heart. And God can do that. God can clean your heart up because He knows every corner of it, knows everything that's there. But here's another thought. The Bible said your Father knows your heart. Most people will evaluate your life and your ministry and your service by only what they can see. But your Father evaluates your service by what's in your heart. He knows what you wanted. He knows that you wanted to please Him. He knows that you want to honor Him. He knows what you want to do. And He does not measure our life of ministry and service to Him by success. He measures it by your heart. Your surrender to Him. Your yieldingness to Him. And God's got my heart. I know He knows my heart. In this passage of Scripture I just read to you, not only does He know your heart, not only does He know your thoughts, not only does He know your frame, your Heavenly Father knows your frame, but in this particular passage of Scripture, He makes mention of this, your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ever ask Him. You think about that. God knows exactly what you need before you ever ask Him. It's already there. And when you get ready and you realize you've got a need, God's already made preparation. My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It's already in reserve for you. It's already set back. God's looked down through time and at everything you'll need in your life, and He's already put it in reserve and in according to His riches and glory, and it comes to you by Christ Jesus. He knows that. He knows that. He knows what things you have need of. I want you to know this. There are fathers who are estranged fathers. There are fathers who are absent fathers. But He's a very present help in a time of need. He's always there. This is the kind of Father, when I read this passage of Scripture, and He knows my heart, and He knows my thoughts, and He knows my needs, and He knows my frame, what a blessing. In John chapter 10, He makes this statement, I know my sheep. He knows those that are His. I can look across this congregation and I know people who testify they're saved. If I had to, from experience and from looking at lives, to say they were saved or not, I'd say they probably might be, they probably are, I think they are. But God knows His sheep, knows all about you. And as the one who knows you like a shepherd, He knows you because He's intimate with you. He cares about you. He has omniscience, which means He knows everything. But when He emphasized the fact that I know my sheep, He's emphasizing the fact that I know because I care. He loves you. His focus is always on you. His eyes are always on you. His ears are always open to your cry. He's watching you, watching you. I hear people from time to time who've had great tragedy in their life. Brother Craig Edwards was one of those. Craig was preaching in the camp meeting that Brother Tom Gillum is involved in this week in Thomasville, North Carolina. Brother Craig was preaching at night. Brother Gillum was preaching in the daytime. And Brother Craig Edwards got a call. They'd had some of the family had gotten together somewhere at, I don't know if it was one of the family homes or somebody else's home, but there was several of the family members and then a lot of friends together. And Brother Craig's 5-year-old grandson, somehow or another, got out of their sight. And when they found him, he was in the family swimming pool and he was dead. And they just lost sight of him for just a brief moment. But your father, who knows you and loves you, never takes his eyes off of you. He's always with you. And I thank God for fathers. And I thank God for this passage of scripture every time I read it. And He said, every day when you pray, you'll be reminded of what your father's like. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Do you know Him? Being created is not enough. You must be born again to know Him. I want you to bow your heads in prayer this morning. What a Father. What a Father. The Bible says our Father knows our frame. He knows our heart. He knows our thoughts. He knows our needs. And He knows His sheep intimately, because He is ever with them. He doesn't flee when trouble comes. He's always there. And you need to have a Father like that. You need to know Him. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Right now, while we have our heads bowed and our eyes are closed, I want you to know this. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That Father that is now my Father is my Father because He allowed His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for me. And He did the same thing for you. He did the same thing for you. He gave His only begotten Son that you could go to heaven so that you could become His child. You could become His son. If you would trust the Lord Jesus Christ today, turn from your sin and turn to the Savior, He'd give you everlasting life. And for those of you who are saved, you're in a world that's wicked, and wicked men will wax worse and worse. In the world, you will have tribulation. Man's days are few and full of trouble. But I want you to know one thing. Your Heavenly Father knows everything about you, and He cares about you, and He knows what things you have need of before you ever even ask Him. And He's already got it in reserve for you. If you don't know that kind of Father, you can know Him. In the media audience and in this building this morning, you can turn by faith from your sin and turn to the Savior. Tell Him you're a sinner. Acknowledge the fact that you're alienated from Him. And ask Him to come in your heart and save you and give you everlasting life. Would you stand, please, with your heads bowed and eyes are closed? Our Heavenly Father, what a joy to be able to say that. God, what a blessed privilege to say that. Our Father, which art in heaven. God, I pray, God, that if there's a man or woman, a boy or girl in here that does not know that in reality, if they could not pray that portion of that scripture in truth, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost of God to convict them, draw them by your grace and save them for Jesus' sake. bring Holy Ghost conviction on them because you love them and you gave your Son for them. You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God, I pray right now that God, you'd make them willing. I pray, God, you speak to them. Were they willing to turn from their sin and turn to the Savior right now? While we have our heads bowed, eyes are closed this morning, I want you to do something with me. And I pray you'll feel the full impact of it. There are some in here who are blessed to have children, some men who don't currently have children. But I am sure glad that God is our Heavenly Father. Some of you, your father's passed away. Maybe you never knew your natural father, but you can know this Father, and you do know Him. And I want us together just to say those few words while we're in an attitude of prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Will you say it with me? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Would you say just the first part again? Our Father. Again, our Father. Is he your Father? If you're here this morning, you say, Brother Billy, I could not say that honestly. I've never been born again by the grace of God, and I want you to pray for me. Would you raise your hand here this morning? Let me pray with you. I'm not going to embarrass you or come to you. But you say, Pastor, if I died now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand? I'm looking across the auditorium. Hold it up long enough for the acknowledge. I see a hand. And raise it up. Anybody across the building this morning? Our Heavenly Father, I pray God the Holy Ghost right now will do in hearts and lives what ought to be done. I pray God that, Lord, not a man or woman, a boy or girl leave here not knowing Christ. Lord, I didn't see a hand, but I sure am glad you know the hearts. And God, I know there are people in this building who are going through things right now, and they don't think it can bear anything more. But you can, you know our frame. You know what we can bear. And God, we don't understand your ways. We don't understand your purposes all the time. But we do know this, that God, you know what we can take because you'll be there to give us strength. You know our hearts. You know the hurts, the longings, you know the battles, you know the needs. Every need, God, you know. You know those who need employment. You know those who need a blessing financially. You know those who need something done physically in their life. You know that because you care about them. They're your children. You know our needs before we ever even ask you. And God, you made a promise. You made a promise you'd meet our needs. And God, I'm asking you to do that for our friends here in the building and in the media audience. And God, that they might give you all the glory and acknowledge what their Heavenly Father's done for them. And God, I pray now that you'd bless as families have time together with their family the rest of this day. And I pray, God, you'd bless all the dear men of God who are here, the daddies who are here in the building with us, and those in the media audience. Help us all to love you and serve you. We thank you for godly fathers. Thank you, our Father, for those that we've known over the years who've been a blessing to us. And God, we ask now that you bless your people. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.